Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy snow day. Hope you're doing well on a Thursday, January 19th of 2023. It wasn't that bad out there. I'm a notorious winter complainer. I complain about the snow, the ice, the cold, but all things considered, it could be a lot worse. Welcome in. Spencer on Sports here for a Thursday, 319-366-1600. Got some daytime basketball going on today. Over in Paris, for those of you who speak English, the Chicago Bulls, Dub Bulls, and the Detroit Pistons. Paris game, NBA growing their reach over in Europe, and the Bulls and the Pistons are about to tip off in Paris. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening between the Chicago Bulls and the Detroit Pistons. Kind of lost its luster, the matchup did, when Cade Cunningham went down for the season, had to have surgery to end his season, but still a division rivalry. Bulls, I think the Bulls are going to win by 50. I'm about to get sued by Saturday Night Live for mocking Bill Swirsky's superfans here this afternoon. But we'll keep our tabs on that. We got some NFL to get to. I saw interesting stat about the playoffs. That it's one of those things that when you hear about it, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But when you first see it, you're like, wow, it's been that long. There is a drought. It's not necessarily a streak, but there's a drought that the two number one seeds are looking to break this weekend, or just in this playoffs in general. And we'll tell you what that is, part of our NFL segment. We've got some coaching moves, two offensive coordinators being let go today, Tampa Bay and Baltimore both making changes. Dive into that. We also have news on the NFL International Series. Speaking of the International Series and the NBA, we know who's going to be playing overseas coming up next NFL season this fall. Dive into that. Also, some interesting stuff. We get some time. The Athletic doing a nice breakdown of transfer portal numbers in college football. The teams that have added the most transfers, the number of players that have transferred. I won't read you the whole article. That's not the point, obviously. But some interesting stuff. The first portal window, you know, there's these windows now with the portal that have that are kind of dictating how things flow when it comes to portaling in the college football world. And the most recent window just closed. The first window opened December 1st, and it just wrapped up yesterday, I do believe. And so the Athletic, who, they got more time on their hands than I do, and they're a lot smarter than me, too. They did some number crunching and kind of an initial look at the numbers after the first portaling window has closed in college athletics, or college football, that is. But we'll get into that later on in the show. I do want to start with some college hoops. Had two games last night of interest, more than that, obviously, if you factor in you and I and Drake. But Iowa and Iowa State women both playing last night. We did not see the Iowa men play last night. We got some news earlier today about when that game against Northwestern that was going to be postponed, or that was postponed, will be made up. We'll get to that here momentarily. But as we start the program, boy, I just and your thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600 about the Chris Street documentary last night. If you didn't get a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. Big Ten does an awesome job with their big story. I think that's what the name of the series is called, The Big Story. They go around the conference and they tell stories from the league that, you know, you might have heard about, maybe you didn't hear about. I know they did one, I think it was the same series on the Brands brothers, Tom and Terry Brands. That was late last year, if I'm not mistaken. But boy, as we sit here on the 30th anniversary of Chris Street's passing, that documentary last night, and then you followed up with the replay of the first home game after his passing. Boy, what a night of programming, and what a night of emotion on Big Ten Network. The documentary itself, and just going to preface this, I feel I am uncomfortable. I don't want to I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to sound like a moron any more than I do. I sound like a moron 9 times out of 10 when I turn on this mic here on this radio show. I was 2 going on 3 when this all went down early 1993. So I completely oblivious to, you know, the world around me, let alone college basketball. Being a sports fan and following Big Ten basketball, I knew of the Chris Street story and just kind of the generalities of what happened. Obviously, following, like I said, Big Ten sports and Iowa basketball and whatever it is, you hear about it, you know about it. That was emotional. That was, it hit you like a ton of bricks. Seeing not just his family talk about the accident that killed their brother, their son, and so on, but hearing, you know, Gary Close, a former assistant coach at Iowa, talk about it, and Tom Izzo and Jim Nance, who called the game against Duke and then the game against Michigan after, you can't tip your cap enough to the work Big Ten Network did. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who didn't get a chance to see it. I know the Big Ten Network is replaying it numerous times. They put out a schedule. I don't have it in front of me. I do apologize. Even if you know the story, which I'm sure most of you do, and you're well versed in it because you grew up here, you lived here. But as pretty much an outsider, I was born in Iowa. I did not grow up in Iowa, so I wasn't, like I said, like 100% tuned into Hawkeye athletics as a kid. Being a Wisconsin native, now seeing that and seeing the raw emotion with it really puts things into perspective, and really you could see why, just through that 1 hour show, that Chris was such a beloved figure in the state of Iowa. And just learning more about that, hearing from his teammates, hearing from his family, was certainly it was heartbreaking, not going to lie, to watch that last night. So, like I said, even if you know the story, you've been well versed in the story, you remember where you were that day. It's a good watch, a recommended watch. It's a tough watch. I will say that with 100% certainty. So, highly recommended. Again, kudos to Big Ten Network for that presentation last night. If you saw it, you want to share your thoughts about the Chris Street documentary last night on BTN, feel free to chime in. Talk or text line wide open at 319-366-1600. Of course, the entire state of Iowa today on the 30th anniversary of his passing. Probably taking some time to remember Chris Street and his life and legacy today, and that I'm sure is happening all throughout the state and in the college basketball world today. To the on the court stuff here. Speaking of the Iowa men's basketball team, Fran McCaffrey talking as we speak down in Iowa City. We'll get some highlights from him later on in our local shows today and of course here on Spencer at Sports tomorrow. But some news here from the Iowa men's side of things. The game that was supposed to be played, that was supposed to lead into the documentary last night, has been rescheduled. Of course, Iowa Northwestern was supposed to play last night, was postponed due to COVID-19 issues within the Northwestern program. It is now going to be made up on Tuesday, January 31st. So a week from this coming Tuesday, the Hawkeyes and Northwestern will meet up at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Game time is 8 o'clock, so the original game time was 8. The new game time will be 8. It's slated to be broadcast on Big Ten Network. So all things considered, I know February 7th was one of the days that was thrown out there. I mentioned that when the news first broke. However, all things considered for Iowa, you know, it's not great to have to play. If you look at their schedule, they're playing Rutgers on the 29th, and then 2 days later, you're playing Northwestern. But the good news, after you have 2 straight road games, Ohio State this weekend and then Michigan State next Thursday, You essentially got another homestand. You get kind of a mulligan on that three-game homestand and an opportunity, obviously, to defend your home court and pick up some victories at home, which Iowa had been doing in that stretch. Of course, starting with that comeback win over Indiana, beating Michigan, coming back to win that one, and then winning going away last Sunday against Maryland. The Northwestern game maybe threw him off the rhythm a little bit, but getting another kind of do-over on that three-game homestand certainly can't hurt for Iowa. But the schedule now looks like this for Fran McCaffrey's bunch. I mentioned the game against Ohio State, which is this Saturday afternoon. The play at Michigan State a week from tonight on the 26th. They host Rutgers on the 29th. They will host Northwestern on the 31st. And then they start the month of February with that game against Illinois, which was announced yesterday as a sellout. All that leads into one of the top teams in the country, Purdue, in West Lafayette on February 9th. So that is the latest on the scheduling news there. One Big Ten game last night. And you talk about Ohio State. And I don't know if it's I don't want to say it's good or it's bad for the Hawkeyes. They get an extra time to prep, not having to play last night. But do you get the feeling Ohio State is going to be motivated? They lost their fifth straight game last night, losing to Nebraska in Lincoln 63-60. And I've seen others point this out too. All those losses have been close. They have not been blowouts by any means. They lost to Purdue by 2. They lost to Maryland by 7. They lost to Minnesota by 3. They lost to Rutgers in overtime by 4. And then they lose by 3 in Lincoln. Ohio State looking for a win, desperate for a win. Iowa has an opportunity, obviously, to send them to their sixth straight loss and put them even more in a world of hurt here. But you got to imagine coming home, needing a win. Ooh, it's going to be – it's already a tough place to play. And we'll have to see how it plays out on Saturday afternoon. But Ohio State losing their fifth straight, dropping a game to Nebraska last night. That's the only game that was in action last night. We had four Big Ten games on the schedule tonight, including Rutgers and Michigan State, two teams toward the top of the league. Rutgers heading to East Lansing for action there. Purdue heading on the road to Minnesota. Michigan playing at Maryland. And Indiana playing at Illinois. There's a interesting screenshot making the rounds on social media. If you haven't seen it, the cheer instructions for the Illinois student section, the Orange Crush, against Indiana today. They've got like a cheat sheet of like things they want to pick on the other team for. It's interesting stuff. Go look it up if you haven't seen it. But the one that stuck out to me, Mike Woodson, the thing that the Orange Crush wants to point out the most, I guess, is that he looks like I think it was Dollar Store Steve Harvey. You said, "Oh, that's disrespectful," and it's funny. It's funny. You'd expect nothing less from college student section. Dollar store or Great Value, I can't remember what it was, but now I can't unsee that now. Dollar Store Steve Harvey. Yeah, I totally can see that now. Other men's action from last night, Northern Iowa winning over Illinois State 65-63. Trey Campbell with 20 in the win for the Panthers. Drake falling in overtime to Missouri State 65-62. The Bears beating the Bulldogs there. Tucker DeVries with 26 in the loss for Drake. Had a couple upsets last night in the top 25 on the men's side of things. Number 8, Xavier falling to DePaul by a point, 73-72. UConn going down to Seton Hall, 67-66. And then number 25, Arkansas falling to Missouri, 79-76 last night as well. In the women's side of things, the number 10-ranked Iowa women's basketball team escaping. That was the definition of escape last night. If you saw any of that game, Hawkeyes did not play well in that one. Caitlin Clark, despite having a double-double, did not shoot the ball well in that contest. If she shoots just a little bit better, that game probably doesn't even go to OT. Caitlin Clark, 6 of 19 from the floor, just 2 of 10 from three, still finished with 26 points, 9 rebounds, and 11 assists. A big night for Monica Sinano. She fouled out in that fourth quarter, but 22 points, 11 of 11, perfect from the floor last night, along with 7 rebounds. Kate Martin with 9, Molly Davis and Hannah Stolke each with 7 on the night. One storyline to watch out of that, McKenna Warnock for the Hawkeyes leaving just like 30, 40 seconds into that second half, took a hard screen, was on the court, left the game, did not return. The University of Iowa calling it a hip injury, and she is listed as day-to-day. So McKenna Warnock is going to miss any amount of time. She's glue girl, I guess you could say, for that team. One of the players that they look for contributions on a night-in, night-out basis. And she listed as day-to-day, according to the Iowa Sports Information Office after the game last night. Hawkeyes, though, getting the win. That's the most important thing. 7-1 now in the conference, 15-4 overall. Tough matchup coming up on the road. Number 2, Ohio State, Monday night in Columbus. That is a nationally televised game on ESPN2. And the Iowa State women winners last night, holding off Oklahoma State 69-64. The 18th-ranked Cyclones getting 14 points and 7 assists from Emily Ryan in the victory. 12-4 record now for Iowa State, 4-2 in Big 12 play. They'll host Kansas coming up Saturday night at 5. That's your Hoops Roundup here for a Thursday. Keep our tabs on everything going on in the hoops world and keep you up to date with it here on the program. On the other side, we're going to talk some NFL and some college football as well. There's one drought in the NFL playoffs that's been going on for actually longer than you might think. We'll tell you what that drought is and what teams are looking to break that drought with a good performance in the rest of the postseason. That's on the other side of this timeout. Spencer on Sports here in the gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it's going to be cloudy, cool, and breezy for the remainder of the day today. Temperatures will be hanging out in the low 30s, and we are going to have the clouds and the wind sticking around tonight. Temperatures drop down to a low around 20. Tomorrow, we'll keep the clouds around as well, and temperatures will only be in the mid to upper 20s for highs. We'll have temperatures around 30 degrees on Saturday with a chance for some light snow Saturday night into Sunday morning. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Big Brothers Big Sisters of Cedar Rapids in East Central Iowa and Big Brothers Big Sisters of Johnson County provide children facing adversity with strong and enduring relationships. Bowl for Kids' Sake is back, and it's their biggest event. Form a team today and bowl for Kids' Sake.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
The bank here is now the bank here, here, and here. Fairfax State Savings Bank has a new third location in the heart of Kingston Village in Cedar Rapids. This new location, focused on commercial and private lending, demonstrates Fairfax State Savings Bank's dedication to growing alongside you in the corridor. Fairfax State Savings Bank, in Fairfax, Amana, and now by appointment for commercial and private lending in Cedar Rapids at their new Kingston office, Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Finish your bathroom renovations with a new Homeworks bath fan from Menards. This bath fan features a Bluetooth speaker, so you can enjoy your favorite music or listen to news, weather, or sports while the energy-efficient fan quietly ventilates your bathroom. Connect your smartphone, tablet, or other Bluetooth-enabled devices and automatically connect when in range. Get a strong, clear signal from up to 30 feet away. Save big money on Homeworks bath fans at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring Unity Point Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your Unity Point Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
Working out has been proven to increase your self-esteem, help with depression, anxiety, and stress. At iGym, we care about you as a person.
That's why we have personal trainers you can connect with, group exercise classes so you don't feel alone, saunas to help you relax, and many more amenities.
This year, I'm doing it for me.
This year, I'm joining iGym for me.
Start your health journey for less than $1 a day. Head over to joinigymia.com to learn more.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back at 225 with Spencer on Sports 4. This Thursday afternoon, 19th day of January of 2023. 319-366-1600. Talk or text line is wide open for you here today. Spent some time on college hoops to start, going through the results from last night. Got some college hoops on the airwaves for you tonight from Westwood One Sports. Big Ten action, that aforementioned Indiana-Illinois game. Westwood One's got the national radio call for you, and we've got it for you tonight starting at 7:15 here on KGYM. Again, 319-366-1600. Poll question for you at KGYMradio.com has to do with the NFL. We're going to dive into the NFL here. Lots of storylines still flooding the airwaves, flooding the news cycles and the airwaves here on KGYM. But our poll question today, which AFC title game would you most like to see? Gave you four options. Would you like to see the Chiefs take on the Bills, the Chiefs play the Bengals, the Jaguars take on the Bills, or the Jaguars take on the Bengals? Which AFC title game would you most like to see? You can vote at KGYMradio.com. Poll question courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. I saw this and it was initially hard to believe. Not all that hard to believe. This isn't like radio clickbait here. I just thought it was interesting. And since they give me an hour of time on the airwaves in Eastern Iowa, you know, you'll get stuff that I'm interested in. Maybe you're not, but I find it, I'm a stat geek. I've said that many times, and I thought it was rather interesting. The Chiefs and Eagles, the two number one seeds, are looking to do something that the number one seeds have not done since the 2017 season. What is that, you might ask? Win the Super Bowl. Wait, we haven't had the number one seed win the Super Bowl? Without a number one seed, we haven't had a number one seed win the Super Bowl since 2017? Yeah. You talk about parity in the NFL. There's obviously plenty of it, but since seeding's been in place, this is courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, since seeding has been in place since 1975, the four straight seasons without a number one seed winning the Super Bowl is the second longest drought in that time. If the Chiefs and Eagles fail to win the Super Bowl this year, either one, could be Kansas City, could be Philadelphia, out of the NFC, it will match the longest drought without a number one seed winning. The longest is from 04 to 08, which was five consecutive seasons without a number one seed winning the Super Bowl. Now, a good omen, any Bird fans out there, Eagle fans, to be more specific. The last number one seed to win the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles, back in 2017. They were, of course, underdogs against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Philly special. Of course, they had Nick Foles back then. I think Jalen Hurts is an upgrade over Nick Foles, right? You can't deny the magic that Nick Foles had. But, of course, Foles started in place of the injured Carson Wentz. In that game, and the 17 season was the last time both number one seeds made the Super Bowl. You look back on the history of the number one seed, 2018, the Saints, number one seed in the NFC, lost to the NFC Championship game. The Chiefs in 2018 lost in the AFC Championship game. The 2019 49ers, number one seed there, they lost in the Super Bowl. The 2019 Ravens lost in the divisional round. The 2020 Packers, oh my God, why do I have to talk about it? Lost in the NFC Championship game. The 2020 Chiefs, the number one seed in the AFC, they lost in the Super Bowl. And then last year, both the Titans and the Packers, remember the Titans were the number one seed last year, didn't make the playoffs this year at all. Last year, both number one seeds lost in the divisional round. So it's been a while since the number one seed has won the Super Bowl, all the way back to 2017. You have to go before you find the last number one seed to win the Super Bowl. So interesting stat. Can it be? They're the number one seeds, so people are going to say, well, the number one seed for a reason. They're going to automatically pencil them into the Super Bowl and possibly win. But right now, I think the Chiefs have the best shot. I mean, the Eagles have to go up against division rival, the Giants, right? Tough to beat a team three times. I think, if I'm looking at just based on pure talent, I think the Eagles are a better team than the Giants. They swept them both times in the regular season. But again, tough to beat a team three times in 1 year. Eagles still have to go up against potentially the 49ers or Dallas. I mean, Dallas could pull the upset. Dallas's defense, if they play well, they force Brock Purdy into mistakes on Sunday. I think Dallas can win that game. I'm not picking them to win. I'll do my picks tomorrow. I'm taking San Francisco to win outright in that game. But San Francisco, I'd put them, if I had to pick a team out of the NFC right now, team that's hot, I'd lean towards them. Chiefs? Well, the Chiefs, if they can get, they don't have to play at Arrowhead, but that's a distinct home field advantage. Having offensive speed on turf, if they have to play that game in Atlanta, I think it will make a difference, depending on if they play that that game in Atlanta with the Bills, the neutral site field after the DeMar Hamlin injury on the field, the medical situation that he suffered. So both one seeds have a good shot. Will they win it, though? Will they get to the Super Bowl and win? That's the other question that that folks are asking here for the 2022 postseason. Some other kind of interesting facts and figures. You look at teams from the same division in the playoffs, the divisional playoffs. The NFC East is three of their teams in the postseason, in the divisional playoffs. First time since 1997 that's been done. Remember the NFC Central? I got to find that. Next time I'm at that stage of life where mom and dad are finding stuff. They're like, they're technically empty nesters. My younger sisters are both off at school. So dad's bored. He's going to clean out the attic. And then next time you see him, oh, he found this tub of random stuff from when you were eight. You want it? I'll just cram it into the already crammed storage area at my place of residence. But I digress. I know I have some NFC Central, like, I don't know if it was like a binder or like a folder. Remember those folders you could get at the store? I'm not just making stuff up, am I? Like, they had like NFL pencils. I love those. Best pencils to take a test with. When you're bored, you can look at your San Diego Chargers pencil and think about the San Diego Chargers. I don't know why I chose a San Diego Chargers pencil that day, but I digress. Last time there have been three teams from the same division in the divisional playoffs. Got to go all the way back to 1997. You look at the draft status, too, for quarterbacks in the AFC in particular. The four remaining quarterbacks in the AFC were all top 10 picks, including the last two quarterbacks selected first overall, Joey B, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. The NFC, the highest remaining selection left, Daniel Jones. Go figure, right? Daniel Jones, he was picked sixth overall. The rest of the picks, Jalen Hurts was picked 53rd overall, Dak Prescott 135th, and then Brock Purdy, of course, number 262 in this past spring's NFL draft. 319-366-1600, some other NFL headlines going on today. NFL, the International Series going on, wildly popular overseas, mixed reaction. I think in general fans don't mind it, but I don't know. I hear kind of both sides. You know, we don't want to lose our home game. You know, we don't want to give up a home game. It's expensive to fly over to Europe to watch the team, so on and so forth. But you look at the attendance numbers at those games over in London and now over in Germany. They are popular, especially the Germany game. That was fun. It was Tampa and Seattle, right, this year with the Germany game over in Munich. Well, we're going to see that again this year, the NFL announcing the five teams that will play international games in London and Germany. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, one of them. They're going to play one of the two games in Germany. Still don't know who they're going to play. Schedule is not out yet. The NFL will have their, you know, five-hour schedule release show coming up in, like, in May or whatever it is. April or May, usually, when it is. So Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs will be playing one of the two games in Germany. Josh Allen of the Bills also going to be playing overseas. They'll play in London. The Titans, Jaguars, and Patriots, along with the Bills and Chiefs, are the five teams designated to play overseas. The Bills and the Titans will play at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. The Jags, of course, play at Wembley Stadium, and the Patriots and the Chiefs will both play games against different opponents, not against each other, in Germany. One thing, and if you're disappointed, I send my deepest condolences. The NFL will not have a Mexico City game in 2023 because they are renovating the stadium. So if you're looking for a Mexico City game, you'll have to wait for beyond the beyond this year because of renovations there. A couple more NFL headlines. SportsCenter covered these at the top of the hour, but coaching changes just being made today. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, among the moves they made, letting go of offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, and reports earlier today indicated as many as five offensive assistants and two defensive assistants could also be on the way out. The Bucs averaging, what, 18 points a game this year? Could not run the ball at all. Byron Leftwich out of a job in Tampa Bay. Greg Roman also stepping down from his position in Baltimore. He announced that on Thursday. Roman says he's stepping away to pursue other opportunities, Roman saying that it feels like the right time to move on to other opportunities. He wants to explore new challenges and opportunities. And of course, John Harbaugh, head coach, wishing him all the best. Tremendous coach, leader, and Ravens looking for a new offensive coordinator. Sounds like Lamar Jackson. That story continues on. There's a weird, it's not real. Are people sharing images of Lamar Jackson photoshopped in a Washington Commanders jersey on Twitter today? I don't know why. I don't know if they're just trying to get a reaction out of Lamar, or they're just interested in spreading fake news or something. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But Lamar Jackson, it sounds like he is going to, I mean, if he stays in Baltimore, which it sounds like the Ravens want to keep him around, and, you know, if you're the Ravens, obviously you want to, sounds like Lamar is going to have some say in who they bring in as their offensive coordinator. 319-366-1600 at 238. Another quick timeout for you. Get to some college football news. Transfer portal. I know we all love that subject, don't we? We'll get to it on the other side. Latest numbers after the transfer window. First one has come and gone. Talk about that on the other side of this timeout. Spencer on Sports with you here in KGYM.
For people trying to recover from opioid use disorder, it's hard to know where to begin. At iowaopioidhelp.com, you'll find resources near you for proven treatment and a road back to your old self. Because opioid addiction is not a character flaw, it's an illness. If you or a loved one is struggling with opioid use disorder, visit iowaopioidhelp.com today. Start here. Start healing. Sponsored by the Iowa Attorney General's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-511-3535. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider, 800-511-3535. That's 800-511-3535. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-511-3535.
Westwood One has all the excitement of the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. On Saturday, it's the Jaguars and Chiefs, followed by the Giants and Eagles. Then another doubleheader on Sunday, featuring the Bengals and Bills in the AFC and the Cowboys and Niners in the NFC. From the wild card round all the way to Super Bowl 57 in Arizona, the NFL playoffs are right here.
Hear the NFL playoffs right here on the Gym.
And we're back on a Thursday afternoon with Spencer on Sports here on the Gym. 319-366-1600. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow on the Gym Class, which airs every weekday from 3 until 4, another opportunity for you to win with our Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Our experts, myself included, as much of an expert as I can be, we pick six games each weekend. We give you an opportunity to hook yourself up to one of our pickers if the expert that you so expertly choose will be the correct picker, or they win the most games for the week. You'll get a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway in Cedar Rapids. So tune in tomorrow, just after 3:40, for your next opportunity to win with the pick six. I said yesterday, I am not doing well in the pick six. Season standings are embarrassing. We just have to regroup and do better the next time. That's all I'm going to say. Next year, Isaac, write this down. Next year, comeback of the year, pick six. Write that down, which means I will probably go 0 for 2023. Yeah, you wrote it down. Good job. Good job. A-plus, Isaac. A-plus. 319-366-1600. Some other news in the NFL just came across. The Miami Dolphins letting go of their defensive coordinator, Josh Boyer. That's according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, is also confirmed by the team. Among the coaches let go, the youngest son of Kirk Ferentz, Steve Ferentz, who was an assistant linebackers coach for the Dolphins. He has been let go as well. Josh Boyer, latest assistant coach to be let go in the NFL. 319-366-1600. On to college football. Some interesting stuff out from The Athletic. If you want to check it out, highly recommend well, if you're not a subscriber, subscribe. And I talk about The Athletic quite a bit here on the show. I am not paid by them. I just enjoy the work that they do. Our friend Scott Docterman does a great job with his colleagues as well, all across the website. But they did a breakdown of the transfer window for the transfer portal. As we know, transfer portal, NIL, all those big buzzwords that people make out to be boogeymen are dominating the sport, dominating the headlines. Not a surprise that they are. But we now have these windows, right? These transfer windows. You have X amount of time from the time your season ends to announce your intentions to transfer, to enter the portal, and then after a certain date, you can't do it again. There is another window coming up in the spring, after spring ball. So that's where we're going to see maybe some more transfers, likely some more transfers come up, transfer news come out. But the first ever transfer window just closed up, and The Athletic did all the number crunching as of yesterday, as of Wednesday night when the portal closed. The portal opened December 5th. I believe I mistakenly said December 1st when I was previewing this, but December 5th, it opened for all FBS players that were interested in switching schools. Since then, more than 1,200 scholarship players have opted to enter the portal and explore their options. The first deadline to announce you're going to transfer. Now, you didn't have to pick a school by then, but you had to announce you're going to transfer by then, was yesterday, January 18th. Grad transfers can still enter the portal at any time, but everyone else, if you're not a grad transfer, you have to wait until May 1st. So the first window is closed. What does that mean? Well, like I said, more than 1,200 scholarship players have opted to enter the portal and explore their options. When you take out, in total, in FBS, more than 1,500 scholarship players have entered the portal during the cycle, 2022-23 cycle, which started on August 1st. So you back it up all the way to August 1st, you have more than 1,500. When you take out the players who withdrew from the portal or chose to go pro, the current total is 1,496. That is a lot of players that have entered the transfer portal since all the way back on August 1. The number of players who have picked their next school will soon surpass 1,000. And as of Wednesday night, 64% of all FBS scholarship players in the portal have made commitments, including 72% of the Power 5 transfers. So like I said, this window is closed. The next transfer window opens on May 1st and closes on May 15th. Like I said, grad transfers can still announce their intentions and transfer whenever they want. But for underclassmen who want to use their one-time transfer and be immediately eligible to play in 2023, have to enter between May 1st and May 15th. And the NCAA has said they are taking a stricter approach to this. They're watching you. Got to make sure you're paying attention to these waivers going forward. Not just going to hand out waivers to anybody who wants one. So that is the latest news when it comes to that. When it comes to the players that have, or the teams, I should say, that have landed the most transfers, might not be, pardon me, who you think. Obviously, we're here in Big Ten country. We see the likes of what Wisconsin has done with Luke Fickell coming in, the new coaching staff there. I've said this before, the Wisconsin offense next year, aside from maybe Braylon Allen, is not going to look like it has. New quarterback, of course, bringing in Tanner Mordecai from SMU. A number of new quarterbacks, new receivers, new offensive linemen joining the fold up there in Madison. All told, in the first window, Wisconsin is tied with Indiana for most commits with the first portal window with 13. So they're not at the top. It seems like every time, you know, you're on Twitter, you're reading the college football news, Wisconsin got another transfer. they've been active, and that's the route they're choosing to take. Whether it means instant success for them, we won't know until they step on the field. But the two teams that have done the most and gotten the most commits out of the transfer portal, two teams you might not think of: Arizona State and UNC Charlotte. Charlotte 49ers at a Conference USA. Those are the teams that have had the most commitments out of the portal. 20 commits each for the Sun Devils and Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, who just got a new coaching staff in there. Look at her revive program. But 20 commits each for both Arizona State and Charlotte. SMU third with 16. Memphis was fourth with 14. I mentioned Indiana and Wisconsin. Each tied for fifth with 13 commitments out of the portal this time around. And then you've got five-way tie for seventh in the portal rankings. 12 each for Auburn, Cincinnati, Colorado. No surprise with Colorado and Coach Prime. and Georgia Southern and Oklahoma, too. So that's the latest look at the transfer portal numbers. I thought that was rather interesting. A lot of transferring going on, and I don't think it should come to us as a surprise. Players taking advantage of it, players looking for the right fit. Maybe there's been a coaching change or they just want to explore their options. Yeah, it's essentially free agency just with another name. But when you see the numbers on paper, it is certainly interesting to look at where college football is going, specifically in the transfer side of things. 249 coming up on 250. Quick timeout. Back with more after this.
Ray Maliotta here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, taillights, trunk lids, license plate holders, 122 million parts. Pull up just a little bit. And headlights. They've got lots of headlights. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors, let's ride.
Wendy's knows cold and soggy fries are the worst.
So soggy.
That's why we're serving up hot and crispy fries all day, every day.
And all night, until close.
With natural cut potatoes, sea salted to perfection.
Show me that potato skin.
Wendy's hot and crispy aren't like other fries. We're your dream fry. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's hot and crispy fries.
Guaranteed to be hot and crispy. If yours aren't, bring them back and we'll replace them.
And back with you at 251 with Spencer on Sports here on KGYM. Back with you tomorrow from 2 until 3, covering the latest stories and headlines from the sports world. Got a few minutes left with you here today, so we'll wrap it up here momentarily, get you off to the gym class and to the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming up in just a few moments. Got the NBA Paris game going on as we speak. The Bulls leading the Detroit Pistons 49-41 in the second quarter from Paris as the NBA expands for their Paris game out into the global arena. 7:09 to play, 49-41. The Bulls in front of the Detroit Pistons. That game going on right now as we speak. Last night in the NBA arenas, Minnesota falling to Denver 122-118. How about Luka Garza? I'm seeing a lot of, you know, obviously admiration for what he's doing, but 17 minutes, 16 points last night in the loss for Minnesota. Been back and forth between the G League team and Des Moines, and playing some significant minutes off the bench for Minnesota, but 16 points last night, one of their top scorers too. In the loss to Denver, another triple-double for Nikola Jokic, 31, 11, and 13. For the Joker last night as the Nuggets won over Minnesota. First career double-double for Keegan Murray last night as well. 10 points, 10 rebounds in a win over the Lakers. Not going to complain about a win over the Lakers, that is for sure. Sacramento winning last night, 116-111. De'Aaron Fox with 31. Harrison Barnes, fellow Iowa native, with 20. Last night for the Kings, LeBron finishing with 32 for the Lakers in the loss. Other results from last night, Washington beating New York 116-105. Atlanta getting the best of Dallas 130-122. Charlotte over Houston 122-117. Memphis edging Cleveland 115-114. Miami over New Orleans. Oklahoma City beating Indiana by 20 last night 126-106. And the Utah Jazz beating the Clippers 126-103. Other games tonight, aside from the one we have on right now, the T-Wolves back at it against Toronto, also Boston and Golden State taking the floor tonight. Finals rematch out at the Garden in Boston, and Phoenix taking on Brooklyn, Philadelphia taking on Portland tonight as well in NBA action. And hockey action last night, Ottawa winning over Pittsburgh, Boston beating the New York Islanders, Colorado over Calgary, San Jose over Dallas, Tampa Bay over Vancouver last night as well. Got the Blackhawks in action tonight on the road at Philadelphia. Also Minnesota in action, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Blues taking on the Nashville Predators tonight as well, among the games on the docket for the National Hockey League this evening as well. 319-366-1600. Reminding you of our poll question here this afternoon. What AFC title game would you most like to see? Got some votes coming in. It's an interesting question. What AFC title game would you most like to see? The Chiefs versus the Bills, which again would be played in Atlanta. You'd see that on a neutral site. The Chiefs and the Bengals, the Jags and the Bills, or the Jags and the Bengals. I'm all for a rematch. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen rematch. Absolutely. All for it. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow rematch. Absolutely. All for it. I don't think you can have a bad matchup with any of those potential matchups. That's the thing. I think there's so many good possibilities. Out of pure fun, Trevor Lawrence versus Joe Burrow would be, I think, would it be the most fun? I'm not sure if it would be the most fun, but I feel like that would be two number one overall picks going against each other, the upstart Jags versus the team that got to the Super Bowl last year, kind of the two upstarts, the teams nobody really expected to be there. That would be a fun matchup to see. We do have a vote for that, Jags-Bengals, a vote for Chiefs-Bills as well in the poll question. But you can vote in that poll question at kgymradio.com. Which AFC title game would you most like to see? Chiefs-Bills, Chiefs-Bengals, Jags-Bills, or Jags-Bengals? You can vote courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4 here on radio waves for you in Eastern Iowa. Joined by voice of the Hawkeyes, Gary Dolphin, today talking to Iowa basketball. I'm sure with Dolph, he'll be on just after 3:15, and the coach, Kevin Lehman, joining the program today with Scott and Mark just after 3:30. Todd, in between 4 and 6, complete reaction to everything going on in the sports world. Dave Sherapan joining him at 5 tonight. Betfred Sportsbook Hour hits the airwaves tomorrow night at 6 here on KGYM. Don't forget college hoops tonight, Indiana and Illinois from Westwood One Sports, coverage starting at 7:15 here on the gym. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too, on KGYM.